Good morning. Welcome to this first slot, or this presentation in the first slot at this year's FrostCon. I hope you're as excited as I am. I'm Sebastian, and this morning I'll be talking about supply chain security in the PHP ecosystem. And I'm going to start with a tale from Nextdoor, not because Nextdoor is particularly messy and bad, but because Nextdoor has gotten a lot more attention, at least so far. So for example, in September 2025, over 500 plus packages were infected with Shai-Hulud. And days earlier, 2.6 billion weekly downloads across two phished packages, Chulk and Debug. And Sonatype reported 454,000 attacks using new malicious packages, and that's a year-over-year increase of over 75%. This is not to bash other ecosystems, and this whole talk is not about bashing PHP. It's also not a PHP panic talk. This is the fire in the house next door section and the reason why we are talking about our own house, PHP's house, today. So, what's the situation with PHP? Is PHP just as bad as other ecosystems? And I think that is the wrong question. That completely misses the point. The real question is a different one. And without the contrast from what we just saw burning next door, it would not make a lot of sense. So there are a lot of things that actually protect us right now, but not by luck, not by chance, but not really with the intended purpose that we are about to get. So do we have measures in the PHP ecosystem that help us protect from software supply chain attacks? Yes. Are they on by default? And now the two most hated words in IT, it depends, depending on the version of Composer, for instance, you are using. And that is the theme for the rest of the talk. So the question is not, is PHP bad? The question should rather be, what protects us and is it on by default? And there is, for instance, a case study and an article by Stack Shield that has shown that PHP has historically, until now or until very recently, been slower to see these attacks compared to other ecosystems, but the gap is closing. We see more and more attacks also on critical infrastructure in the PHP ecosystem through supply chain attacks. And just because it has been quiet so far, that does not mean that it has been safe so far. So today in this presentation, I would like to go bottom up through the PHP supply chain and analyze answers to four questions. Where does security advisory data actually come from? Where is it aggregated? How do we actually use this data? And how does the underlying machinery actually work? And how does it hold up and compare to older tooling that you may or may not have already or still in place? Okay, so I hope that this does not come as a surprise for you. You wrote less of your application than you think. Yeah, you actually write, or these days probably let write, the tip of the iceberg. And below the surface of a typical PHP application, you have a lot of code that sits in your vendor directory managed through Composer. At least I hope that your third-party dependencies are properly managed through Composer, that you're not still using Pear, and that you're still not that you no longer just download stuff from the internet and check it into your version control system without knowing what is actually there. So I'm assuming that we are all at least using Composer here today, and please do not burst my fairy tale bubble that we are all living in this perfect world. At least for today, I would like to ignore the really bad stuff. So you wrote less of your application than you think. And here is the tricky part. Every single dependency that you explicitly made a decision to depend upon comes with its own dependencies, and they come with their own dependencies and their own trust assumptions. You might write 10, 20, 30 packages into your composer.json file to make it explicit that you depend, that your code depends on these third-party libraries. But what you actually trust is the transitive closure of hundreds of maintainers you never chose, and most of whom you'll never know. Yeah, you do not trust all these packages, you trust the transitive closure. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So, the threat model. What are the threats that we are actually talking about? And I'll try to keep it simple and focus just on four categories. First one is account takeover. A maintainer's credentials get phished, and the next release that goes out is malicious, but it's signed with a name you already trust. I don't want to talk about best and worst case here, but there's a spectrum. So one case could be that it just looks like it comes from someone named Sebastian who gives you a new version of PHP Unit, but technically speaking, it's not signed by me because it was not signed with my SSH key, was not signed with my GPG key, was not signed with whatever mechanism I may be using in the future. But on the surface, you do not look at that probably most of the time anyway, because you just trust that everything just works. And we also make the best case assumption that someone just stole my credentials through phishing and not abducted me and holds a gun to my head and says, you make this malicious release right now. But these are the kind of things that we're talking about here, right? And just to give you an idea why that might be a bad idea, and I don't really want to talk about myself here today, but when I release a new version of PHP Unit, I can see from the statistics that within just 60 seconds, it's over 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 installations, and it keeps growing. And if a malicious release would be out there just for a couple of minutes, that would be really bad, because PHP Unit testing tool runs in pipelines, runs usually in badly configured pipelines as root, and can do all kinds of bad things. Second attack vector, typo squatting or dependency confusion. You meant to install one thing, you ended up installing something that you did not want to install, but you made a typo and somebody registered a package with the same name and you got confused, or someone got confused, you got confused, the package manager got confused, whatever. It looks close enough so that nobody notices, and maybe nobody notices for years, because for years it's exactly the identical version as the correct package, until one day a flag is switched and you get malicious versions. You can do things like manipulating history. A good release that was made days, weeks, months, years ago is re-tagged and is no longer good and is now malicious. This is not just something that I like to talk about or want to caution about in the context of security, but it's in general considered a really, really bad practice to re-tag a release once a release is out there, once a tag has been made. That, in my opinion, must be immutable. Yeah, and there's a fourth attack vector that I think is important and I want to talk about here today, and that's known vulnerable code. Nothing malicious here, just there was a bug that turned out to be security relevant in a specific version of a package that you either directly or indirectly depend upon, and it has become known that this version is vulnerable, and you have that, and you want to know, hey, I have this version, how can I fix that? Okay. So why has PHP been structurally calmer than other ecosystems? Three reasons, and they're not accidents. One is vendor namespaces. From the very beginning of the packages composer ecosystem, we had vendor namespaces, vendor slash package name. So you cannot get most of the confusion for dependency confusion by default and by design, because as soon as someone registers for the very first time a package under a specific vendor namespace on packages.org, nobody else can register another package in that namespace, because that namespace is owned either by that single person or by the organization that they belong to. Yeah, nobody that is not me or people I trust can go to packages.org and create a new package in the PHP unit vendor namespace, for example. So this makes it harder to confuse one package for another when because the namespace itself carries some level of identity. We have canonical repositories. Packages only stores metadata, but the code itself lives on your version control host, most cases on GitHub. There's no separate upload step where something could quietly go wrong. And we have, thankfully, no canonical universal post-install script. Yeah, there's no mechanism that automatically does something like calling a script or executing code when you install a package using Composer. It has to be an explicit opt-in. Yes, when I install this package, I allow that package to run code. And it's not something that just happens. This is deliberate design made early, but these deliberate decisions that turned out to be really good decisions are not an active defense against something that can go wrong, especially when we are talking about bad actors wanting to do bad things. So for years, for a really long time, the PHP ecosystem leaned on two mechanisms that were bolted on to Composer as third-party mechanisms or additional things. Not both of them are third-party. So the first one was a report that you could read after the fact. And we'll get into more details what I mean by that in a moment. This would tell you honestly which of your dependencies have a known security issue, but it told you. It did not stop the installation. The second mechanism was cleverer. A package that essentially weaponized the dependency resolver inside of Composer, forcing it to reject any package and any version of a package with a known problem. And it abused a side effect of how dependency resolving and resolving version constraints work for that. Was a really clever mechanism, and it worked well, but we now have a better solution, and I'll get to that in a moment. Both of these mechanisms worked, each in their own way. One after the fact as a report, and the other by clever abuse of a feature that was there. The important thing to keep in mind is neither of these two approaches worked out of the box and by default. So you had to have the mindset of, oh, I need to care about security. I need to know about these issues to care about that. I need to know about these solutions. I need to set them up. So, first solution is the audit command that at some point in time was added to the Composer command line tool. This queries an advisory database and lists known vulnerable packages in your log file and by extension what's inside your vendor directory. Yeah, so you see things like, okay, in this project we have among many other dependencies php unit/php unit installed, and it's installed in a version that fits the version range between 12.5.21 and 12.5.22 and 13.1.5 and 13.1.6. So you are affected by this and you get information like the CVE ID and the title and the URL where you can find more information about that. If you want to know more information about the process that leads to this output, we will talk about that in a couple of minutes. If you want to learn even more about that, especially what it means to be an open source maintainer that gets a phone call on a Saturday morning from some random person telling them, hey, I can no longer work because I cannot install PHP unit, then I have a blog post that explains what happened on that weekend, and that phone call ruined my weekend. It ruined the weekend of the two people behind packages.org, and only because somebody at GitHub decided to rewrite my security advisory without consulting me. So in my security advisory, it wrote exactly versions 12.5.21 and 13.1.5 are affected by the security issue, only these two versions. And I put in the equal sign version constraint operator, and somebody at GitHub decided this must be wrong, so they replaced the equal sign with less than or equal, and suddenly not a single version of PHP unit was installable. And fixing that on a weekend turned out to be the challenge. But now we've all done that, and now we learned how to deal with a situation like that. Now it's documented, and eventually I had a weekend. But I digressed. So, there's a timing problem with Composer audit. You run Composer install, and by the time it finishes, the vulnerable code is already on disk in your vendor directory. Only then does Composer audit run. Only then do you get the report. Yeah, you have the vulnerable code on disk, and you get the report. That's informative. That's not preventive. It tells you. It doesn't stop you. And in CI, you don't even get that for free. You have to opt in. You have to add the Composer audit step to your CI workflow, and then hope that somebody looks at that, or better yet, hope that the person who's put that into the CI pipeline configured it in such a way that when there is a vulnerability that is reported, it exits with a shell exit code of 1 and marks the pipeline as failed. So this approach tells you the truth, just too late to matter for that one particular install of our dependencies that we just did. And now we can look at the workaround that weaponized the resolver to achieve something similar. So tool B used a completely different approach. Yeah, tool B is called Rove/security advisory. And this is a genuine, a clever abuse of the system. It's a meta package. You can add a dependency on Rove security advisories to your composer.json. There is no code in that package, just a really, 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 really long list of packages and versions of those packages that this package conflicts with. And that's the abuse of the dependency resolver that I meant. Yeah, there is no code, none. It's only the conflict constraints, one entry per known vulnerable package version. And Composer's dependency resolver already refuses, and does so for a very, very long time, two packages that conflict with each other. And that's just a normal aspect of constraint revolving, nothing security specific. And since this one meta package declares conflicts with a lot of other packages, this gave us, through a workaround, a mechanism to prevent the installation of vulnerable packages. Yeah, it turns an ordinary resolver mechanism into a security gate, and it does it before anything ever lands in the vendor directory. So the timing problem is solved. And we were able to use this, and many, many projects in the PHP ecosystem used that approach years before Composer itself did anything like it natively. There's a catch. There's always a catch. So this might have been a brilliant workaround, brilliant abuse of the system, but it also was very brittle. It was brilliant because it gave us prevention at resolve time years before Composer had a feature for that. And that is by no means a small thing. This prevented a lot of security incidents. Yeah, that's years of protection for the ecosystem before the community decided to build a proper solution for it. It was brittle because you still had to remember to require this package. You needed to be aware of the problem. You needed to know that the solution for this exists. And it's limited to just security advisories, nothing about malware, right? And nothing about policy. Because if you start thinking about topics like, okay, I want to have a configuration that I can use to manage aspects of the dependencies I want to use in my project. Obviously, I do not want to depend on versions of a package that have a vulnerability, and of course, I do not want malware in my vendor directory, but maybe you have different rules that you need to enforce. Things like, I only want to use dependencies that use a specific open source license, or maybe you want to exclude a specific license, or maybe you do not like a certain vendor of packages and you want to make it clear, in this project, we do not depend on packages from that vendor namespace for whatever reason you may have. We do not have a mechanism for that yet. Well, this workaround does not give us this. This mechanism was using community curated security advisories and used the workaround to enforce them in the Composer command line tool. Both approaches share the same problem. They're not on by default. Yes, Composer audit is a command that you get out of the box with the Composer binary, and you can call it, but you do not get the functionality by default, plus the timing problem. And the Rove security advisories approach, also not on by default. You need to be aware that the problem exists and that this is a solution, and you need to put that into your Composer JSON. So, before we talk about what Composer does now by default and out of the box, we need to talk about data. Because blocking is only as good as the data we use to decide which package and which version we want to block. Does not matter how clever your resolver trick is to work around a missing feature. Does not matter how well implemented the new mechanism in recent Composer versions is. Does not matter how fast your CI can fail when there's a problem in your dependency chain, does not matter how well known the process is for dealing with, hey, CI suddenly blocks my package. All of that is important and you need that, but you also need to have the data that makes this run. So let's get to the bottom of that. Where does the data come from? And if you will, you can call that the advisory data supply chain. So, and we have a couple of different sources, three to be exact. Source number one, that is a project on GitHub called friends.php/security advisories. If you have ever used Composer Audit or the Rove package that I talked about already, you have relied on this repository without probably knowing that it exists. This is a community curated database. And I mean that literally, maybe not the database, there is no SQLite or relational database behind it. It's just a directory structure with lots of YAML files. And this is an example of what one such YAML file looks like. The important point I would like to stress is it's community curated. Many well-known people from the PHP ecosystem contribute to this repository and curate the information, streamline the information, review the information, audit the information, and so on. So this is a data source that you can trust. Of course, take that with a grain of salt. You must trust me to trust what I just said, but that's how it goes. Every advisory in there is a plain YAML file, and it carries an advisory ID, the affected branches, the version ranges, nothing fancy, nothing proprietary, and it's plain YAML in the public Git repository. Every single entry is peer-reviewed through a pull request, which means it's auditable by everyone involved. So also, including everyone in this room, you can go there now and just look at those things. And if you find a mistake, send a pull request. This is the data that feeds Rove's conflict trick and a good chunk of the rest of the PHP ecosystem tooling as well. Yeah, it's the foundation for everything else in this talk. Source number two, the GHSA, or the GitHub Advisory Database. Most of you may already know this one. It's broad. It covers many ecosystems, not just the PHP ecosystem. And it's genuinely well-tooled. There are a lot of tools out there that do something useful with the data in the GitHub Advisory Database. NPM in the JavaScript ecosystem uses that data for the stuff that they do. Dependabot uses that. Renovatebot uses that. If there's a tool that does anything with supply chain security, it probably uses this database. Here's a catch specifically for PHP. This is a subset of the information that packages already knows, that packages themselves aggregate and curate, and what we curate as a community in the GitHub repository as YAML files that I showed before. Source number three, packages' own advisory API. This is the one most people outside the PHP world have never heard of. Packages aggregates advisories itself, serves information about these advisories through an API. This is the API that, for instance, the Composer command line tool now also talks to. Its data set is more complete than just the GitHub subset that most cross-ecosystem tools actually consume. And this leaves us with an asymmetry a tool that only reads the GitHub advisory database sees potentially less than what a PHP-specific tool uses that talks to the packages API. Same ecosystem, same packages, different amounts of truth depending on which door you walk through to access the data. So let's put the whole thing in one picture, because this diagram is probably hopefully where everything clicks into place and you begin to understand what I've been rambling about. It starts with people. Maintainers who disclose a vulnerability in their own package, or researchers who find a vulnerability in someone else's package. That disclosure flows into two curating layers, friends of PHP, security advisories, and GitHub's own database. Maintainers of packages on packages.org in the PHP ecosystem are encouraged to put their information about security issues in their project into both databases. And this turns a disclosure into a structured advisory entry. From there, it flows into Packagist's API, which aggregates everything and serves it, makes it accessible to tools. And as we saw on the previous slide, this can be more complete than just the GitHub security advisory database. Yeah, and this pipeline is the data plane. Sorry. And now we can finally talk about the control plane, what Composer does with this data. And if you will, this single sentence is or should be the key takeaway from this presentation. Enforcement moved out of a report and into the resolver itself. Yeah, that's it. That's the shift. That's the big improvement. Everything before this slide was building towards this. Everything after is unpacking and detailed information how this is actually useful in your daily routine, and most importantly, prepares you for a moment at some point in the future when you are notified that you have a security vulnerability in one of your dependencies. Yeah, it told you through a report, finally becomes a it won't let you. And it all started a little while ago with Composer 2.9, which introduced automatic security blocking, and this is on by default. You have to explicitly opt out of the protection mechanism I'm about to talk about. Advisory enforcement no longer lives in a separate command. It lives inside the dependency resolution itself. When Composer resolves your dependency graph, it checks known vulnerable versions as part of that process and refuses them during resolve. Just like, hey, I cannot install that version of the library because the PHP version requirement doesn't match what I'm currently running on the local machine where I want to do, and that version is removed from the candidate versions. It removes a vulnerable version from the list of candidate versions, and this can result in a situation where you do not get an installable set, where Composer will tell you, I cannot install your dependencies, and here's the reason why. And I would like to take a moment to acknowledge what the Rove team did for many years with their opt-in hack. That was not superfluous. That's not worthless. Yeah, we learned a lot from that as a community and took the next step and put that into the installer, into dependency resolution, changing the architecture of Composer and how packages works, so that we no longer relied on a third-party hack to do that. So Composer 2.9 was the first major step into that direction, and it solved the problems related to security advisory. A while ago, Composer 2.10 was released, and this is where it gets architecturally, at least for someone like me, who's not only interested in security but also into software architecture, gets architecturally interesting. Remember a couple of minutes ago I talked about other things that, or other rules, other policies you may want to implement in your project, and the Composer team implemented handling of security advisories in the resolver in a very extendable and clean way to also support malware from appearing in your vendor directory. They did not have to bolt on yet another feature to some existing mechanism, but it's just a different type of information source. Yeah, so the blocking architecture of Composer generalizes different filter lists into a single pipeline, and that can be advisories, that can be malware flags, that can be policy rules, and whatever idea somebody may have at some point in the future. So the same pipeline that blocks known vulnerable advisories since 2.9 now also carries malware flags. And you can implement policy rules. Think never install anything from this vendor or block anything that uses a specific license. And this is implemented in such a way that it's still clean, maintainable, and future-proof. Yeah, and that's a shift from we fixed this one specific problem, which was security advisories, to we built the thing that fixes the next 10 important problems, and this is how it works. And it's actually a lot simpler than I may have made it sound like. So maybe it's even elegant, I don't know. So we have a feed of flagged package versions. This could be an advisory, could be a malware flag, could be a policy rule, doesn't really matter. And Composer consults that feed during resolve as part of building your dependency graph. And it does so by querying the packages, the API that I mentioned earlier. And if a version on that feed shows up as a candidate, it's refused. And this happens by default both at Composer install time and Composer update time. So it does not matter whether you are installing dependencies for the first time in the project or if you want to explicitly pull in new versions at some point later. It's the same gate, the same implementation, the same data source every single time. Yeah, and flagged versions are refused. When it comes to malware filtering, I think it's worth making it very precise, not only, but especially because of transparency, where the data comes from. Of course, you can have as many lists, many filter lists as you want, but the default malware list uses the so-called Aikido feed, which comes from a company named Aikido. But this is not proprietary. This feed is not proprietary. It's licensed under a Creative Commons license. And the company Aikido is also a financial sponsor of packages and composer development days. They funded the development of the filter list feature, right? So I'm telling you that because transparency, but also to make it clear that important development needs funding. Yeah, and I'll get back to that in a moment. But the transparency bit is also important from a different angle, not just, hey, this is the company and they also funded something, but it's also important to note that this is not a black box that you just have to trust. It's open source, it's a free feed, you can look at any point in time into that feed and see what is currently flagged as malware. Which, of course, also makes it possible to build your own tooling based on that information. I don't have an idea for a different tool right now, but I'm sure that over time we will see more tools that use this information. This filter list approach makes it possible to also have a filter list for malware. And this is a gap that the Rove approach never covered. They only used security advisory information to block those versions. And if you remember our threat model way back when from the beginning, I think it was slide 7, we talked about malicious releases, release, re-tagging, account takeover. Those things are all things that the Rove approach never covered because they only wanted to cover known security vulnerabilities and not these other threat models. There's at least one more feature that was recently shipped and not shipped as part of something in the Composer command line tool, but on the packages.org infrastructure behind it, and that is stable version immutability. Remember I mentioned earlier that I think it's a really, really bad idea and you should never ever do that to re-tag a release, update a tag after that has been published. I think about a year ago, GitHub introduced an opt-in for projects to say, hey, we have tag immutability, and once you turn that on, you cannot update the tag for that project anymore. And as soon as that feature was launched, I opted into that because I want to make clear that I do not follow that as bad practice. And now we have the same mechanism, or a mechanism in the same spirit, on packages.org, where you can use stable version immutability. Once, and you can, don't quote me on this, hi camera, I don't think you can opt out of that. At least it's on by default, and that means you cannot change, update a version of a PHP package that you released on packages.org. So that complements that from the other sites. Yeah, once a stable version is published, it can no longer be silently changed underneath you. A version that used to be fine turns bad, a tag that gets quietly moved, those threat models from earlier, this feature attacks that threat directly at the source, not through a filter that has to know about it after the fact. And there is a pattern here for the whole Composer 2.9 and Composer 2.10 release cycle. It's not just defaults. It's not just immutability. It's defaults and immutability working together, closing different doors in the same threat model. I get easily excited, sorry about that, but this is something I am actually excited about. The pipeline that I showed you earlier, it's open-ended on purpose. It can be extended, and I'm sure it will be extended over time. And I must be careful here that I do not claim anything that doesn't make sense or is not there yet, and nobody is working on that. So I'm not involved in the composer packages projects. I'm just a user of that. And maybe I got too excited when I saw the pipeline. So take that, what I'm talking about now, with a grain of salt. So let's reiterate. Malware is not a special case in the policy framework. We have already established that. It's just one category among many others, many potential others, that the pipeline happens to carry today. And this opens the door to some interesting ideas that are technically, or that should be technically possible. And I'm sure at some point we will get that either out of the box as a first-party feature of Composer, or somebody builds a third-party extension for that. So we could see allow list semantics. Right now, all the filter lists that we have say do not install anything that is on these lists. Technically, the opposite is possible. So we could see lists like only install what is on these allow lists. We could also see a type of approach to solving the trust problem from the Rust ecosystem with the cargo vet command line tool, where you have a collaborative audit model. So I release a package, somebody else, somebody that is not me, reviews my package and signs their positive audit of this release version with their key. And this information is aggregated. And then you can say, OK, only install a new package, only install a new version of this package when at least three people I trust have vetted the release. Sounds crazy today, but technically is possible. Yeah, and this, so I to some degree, I take the grain of salt a little bit back, because this is not me speculating in a vacuum. These are ideas from Andrew Nesbitt, someone who is very active in looking at package management solutions across many, many different language ecosystems. And he recently published an analysis of the Composer 2.10 via protocol. And he says what I just mentioned should be possible. At least the door is architecturally open. Just the question is whether someone steps through that door and builds a solution. And I think there's still a place for using Composer Audit as a tool, but after the fact, to get information when something has gone wrong. What I do not think has a place anymore is the Rove workaround. Update to the latest Composer version, get rid of Rove security advisories in your Composer JSON if you ever had it in there, because having two different solutions for the same problem sounds like wrong, especially when one is built natively into the tool now. At least they cannot disagree because they both use the same data, but it's doing twice the amount of work when you install dependencies, and don't do that. Okay. Yeah, and the important bit is the on in the lower right corner, because all of that, what I just talked about over the last couple of minutes, is now enabled by default. Finally, an example. Hey, so I tried to explicitly and on purpose install a vulnerable version of a package, and a current version of Composer does not allow me to do that. And it doesn't matter if that happens using require, when I first introduce that dependency into my project, or when at a later point in time I run Composer install or I run Composer update. Composer does not install it. It does not even ask. It refuses to resolve the requirement at all, and it tells me exactly why. Flagged and blocked by the filter list. Yeah, compare that to the slide from the beginning. This is not a report that I can ignore. Yes, I can ignore that. And I'll come back to how and why you want to ignore that in the why you may want to ignore that in the moment. But yeah, a passive audit never broke the build. A resolver block now can do that. Yeah, it's no longer passive, it's active, and it's very, very loud. Yeah, making it more concrete, Composer install in your CI pipeline can now fail. Not because you did anything wrong, but because since the last time the pipeline ran, a security vulnerability in one of the versions in your dependencies got flagged at being malicious or having a security issue or whatever. And this is the price of prevention. Nothing ever is free. Yeah, you're trading a class of silent risk for a class of loud visible friction. And in my opinion, that is a good trade, but it's a trade, but we are living in we're doing work in a profession that is all about trade-offs. And I think the most important thing is that if at some point in the middle of an incident related to your own code and you need to deploy a hotfix and you run in a situation like that, you know what to do. Yeah, it can fail is abstract until it happens. And it can fail because a false positive. Yeah, it can fail in a dependency that you never made a conscious decision to depend upon because it's a dependency of a dependency of a dependency that you never ever heard about. But suddenly it gets in your way. And this can happen in a very stressful moment of your work life because I need this version deployed now to mitigate something bad that is currently going on. And you do not want to learn for the very first time about these features when you're in the middle of an incident. Of course, there's always special cases. If your CI pipeline is air-gapped and is not allowed to talk to the feed API and the packages API and things like that, that those are things that I don't have the time to talk about today, sorry. So how to handle a block safely? Yeah. You need to understand the override mechanism before you need it. There are two ways to opt out of blocking the installation. There's a CLI option, --no blocking, that you can use together with Composer. Or depending on whatever you prefer, you can use the environment variable Composer no blocking, set that to 1, and Composer will not block by default. Oh, will not block at all, sorry. But please, make a deliberate decision about this, make it consciously, and let's hope it's temporarily. Document this. You don't want to find out years later that because in that one stressful moment when you really needed to release and you made the decision to, okay, it's okay right now to release with a vulnerable version in my dependencies, and in the next hour or so, or the next day, or whatever, I look into solving this properly. And then 6 months later, it still has not happened, and you get hacked because something that could have been prevented. Yeah, set a reminder to revert the temporary no blocking. Also, please do yourself a favor and not out of reflex. I don't care. And every time this happens, it helps to just do the environment variable thing. Please know what you're doing. Yeah, this is not done to make your life miserable. This is to prevent bad things from happening. Practical things before we zoom back out. If you're bumping your composer version, and at some point you will, my recommendation, use the latest version, it works. And treat it like any other dependency that you manage. Know which composer version flips which default with which version, and those were a lot of witches. The composer and packages team is really, really good at communicating and documenting these changes. Subscribe to the packages blog and you will be updated ahead of time that things are about to change. Some of these recommendations may be obvious, and I hope they are. I make them nevertheless. Run it locally before it surprises your CI. Decide your team's policy for exceptions now when you are not in a stressful situation. Don't scramble at 2 a.m. when it happens for the first time in production or when you're about to deploy a hotfix into production. Make it now and write it down and then just execute on what you decided. Let's be honest about where we actually stand, because you could get the misconception that this sounded like a victory lap and everything is awesome. Composer's defaults are unusually strong for reacting to known malware, known security vulnerabilities, etc. It doesn't look as good when it comes to preventing the unknown. Yeah, proving who published what and... Did I run over time and was the projector turned off? There it is, okay. Maybe there was a vulnerability somewhere in the project. I don't know. Trying to be funny does not work. So proving that something has not been tampered with, this is something that is a prevention gap. Other ecosystems and their package managers are farther along on that ride than PHP is with packages and Composer. But this prevention gap is closing. All of this, and I am running out of time and I have that on my radar, but according to my clock I have 3 minutes left, so I'll try to do that. All of what I'm about to talk now has not been implemented yet, but is on the roadmap for the next 6 to 18 months. Trusted publishing with OIDC, it's being built, it's not there yet for public packages.org, and I have a typo there, that's awesome. Autocomplete failed me, that should be packages.org and not packages.org, I'll fix that. Somebody should really write a testing tool for slides. We do not yet have SigStore provenance attestations. We do not yet have, but this is happening in the next couple of months, mandatory two-factor authentication for packages.org. You can opt in, making it mandatory for members of your organization, but at some point it will be mandatory for everyone who uses packages.org. We do not have a cooldown or minimum release age mechanism yet. This is also being worked on right now. What we do have, and this is genuinely good news because that already helped with investigating attacks that happened in the PHP ecosystem over the last 12 months, is the transparency log. It's live today. It's a public audible log of registry events. Everything that happens on packages.org is logged in an auditable, immutable transparency log, and you can look there and you see can see Git tag manipulations there. It was funded by the Sovereign Tech Agency, German Federal Initiative. That's if you're German in the room, that's your tax dollars doing the good work. Thank you for that. Talking about this for a moment, Packages is operated by Packages Conductors in Berlin. It's the only mainstream package registry not controlled by a US entity. This may or may not be important to you. I think it's at least a fact that is worth knowing and worth funding. And I'm running out of time, but nobody is pushing me on off stage yet. So stay on recent Composer versions, let the defaults work for you. Run Composer audit in CI as well, defense in depth. Have an override policy written down right now before you need it. Pin and review, treat a new transitive dependency as a decision. If you publish a packages on packages.org, please turn on two-factor authentication. There's no reason not to do that. Keep advisory metadata accurate. Report vulnerabilities into the data plane so that all the features that we talked about can make use of that. Watch the filter list protocol. Allow list and attestations are common, are coming, may be coming, I don't know. And please do not re-tag your code. Immutability on packages.org should help prevent that anyway. And I'm coming to my closing thoughts, sorry. Composer was deliberate on architecture early and is deliberate on defaults for security now. It blocks known threats by default at resolve time through one open pipeline. The next mountain, provenance and identity is mapped. It's getting funded and work on it has started. And what ends up in your vendor is finally a decision tooling that helps you make the decision. Thank the people who built this. Thanks are nice, funding is better. Yeah, everything I've shown you today is critical infrastructure, the advisory data plane, the resolver that blocks, the transparency log that reconstructed tag manipulations. None of it is a product anyone sold you, and none of it appeared because the market demanded it. It exists because specific people did the work, and some of them got even a little bit of payment for that. There are three places where you can put money, give money to Packages and Composer, give money to the PHP Foundation, because that's the language. And that's me, but I'm out of time. Thank you.